Welcome to the Beat Red Podcast, a show where we talk about all things embarrassing. We tell our embarrassing stories. We love it when you call up and tell us yours over the phone or you write them in. We're here to laugh with you, cry with you, cringe with you, and as always, bring some levity to your day. I'm Katie.
And I'm Mary Kate.
Let's turn Beat Red.
How's your week?
Oh, look
I got you,
girl. Coming in, huh?
I got you, girl.
How's your week?
How was it? What do you, what's
how
going on?
Was it? Let's do a what are we watching,
what are
I guess.
Watching?
A what are we watching? I know I have like, I hate watch this show. It's called Nosferatu, but it's not Nosferatu like you think. It's like NOS and then the letter 4 and then A and then the letter 2 is how
Why
it's spelled.
Would
it's on Netflix.
Do that.
It's with Zachary Quinto, whatever the, what isn't it? You know, your old roommate.
Zachary Quinto.
Okay. I mean, it's so bad. God love it. Like the first season was okay, but like the second season is just a disaster. Like I feel like if it would have been like a 6 episode like miniseries, it could have been good instead of 20 drug out episodes, but it has good actors in it. Like that's the thing, you know? But he plays like he has to play like a really old guy and he's always changing, but he's not Nosferatu. Like it has nothing to do with the original story. Like he's like kidnapping kids and taking them to this place called Christmas Land.
But what does he do to the kids when he kidnaps them? He kills them?
I mean, they basically turn into like little vampire things, but like they're not really vampires. It's weird. Like it's such a weird show.
What do you think the point of it is? Like, what's the message to the world?
That's a good question. Okay. I don't know, but I was pretty much ready to be done with it. But my husband's like, no, we got to just see it through. I'm like, really? We got to finish this thing. But it has the guy from The Bear who plays the cousin in The Bear, who he's amazing and he's a great actor and he's good in everything he does. So he does his best with it. Like his acting is good in it, but it's bad writing. It's bad. Like there are some bad actors for sure in the second season, but it has that like really big Icelandic dude with the beard. He's been in, remember that show that I love with that comedian too? Somebody Somewhere. Yeah, that show, isn't that what it's called?
Yeah.
He's in that. He plays her love interest at the end. Do you remember?
I didn't see the rest of it. Okay. I think that's a great show. I just haven't.
But he's been in a ton of stuff. I've seen him in everything. And he plays kind of like I guess I won't give anything away. But anyway, if you do want to watch this, but I can't say I recommend it.
that's a great sell.
Yeah, so a great sell. That's what we wasted our lives watching. Love is Blind will have come out actually when this is out, I think, but I have not watched it yet, the finale. I do know what happens like for the weddings and stuff, but it's like such a ridiculous show. This episode especially, the season especially is like so bad.
I really want to say about
it's so fake.
Well, I want to say, is it fake? Because I really like what I love about Love is Blind is not all the like back and forth with behind the barrier. It's more the reveal. Where it's like, okay, I love this person. Let's go out and see them. And then it's like, oh. And you see the disappointment sometimes. Or you see the elation. You know, it could be one or the other. Or you just see like the, hi, you know.
Or they're like, oh my God, we love each other so much. This is amazing. And then like they're on the honeymoon and they're like, I can't fucking stand you.
I know. Like, oh, that's right. They have to go to the honeymoon. They have to go to wedding and honeymoon? Is that what?
And then they meet their parents, they meet their friends. It's a whole thing. But,
I will just never forget the episode I watched of Love is Blind. I have to always talk about this, but it's like the guy who sings his song for the girl. He's like, my girlfriend looks like Beyonce. And he like sings this beautiful like opera.
I do not remember that.
And then at the end, he's like, I do not choose to marry you. And she just goes, okay. Bye. And then like walks down and walks away from him. But I just, we died laughing, John and I. We just overwhelmed it a million times.
This season is so stupid and ridiculous. And
why?
Like, people say yes that like weren't even supposed to say yes, like out of just like spite or pride. Like, so the reunion is supposed, everyone's like, oh, the reunion is going to be so crazy. There's going to be so much tea spilled. It's going to be amazing. It's all just dumb drama. But really in the grand scheme of things, so dumb.
Well, but you know what?
I need to be doing more writing and
you are an amazing writer and you are, you know,
well, you're sweet.
Just spill it out. Just
spill and fill.
But
and
I can understand.
I have been moving my body.
Yes.
I'm moving my body again. Mirage and I have this really great little like park area to walk in. And we have been going on our little walks and we have been feeling much better. Like That's just moving great. Our bodies because was stagnant for a long time, I feel like.
Well, you were.
So it's good to get back into it.
Yeah, good. And you were doing a lot anyway. You were moving, but you don't, when you go out in nature and you're with someone you love, like that's really good for your soul. So keep going.
Yeah.
Keep going.
I don't like the gym. I don't like, yeah. Like for me, I just like to be outside.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just like walking, hiking, like that makes me feel good.
Yeah. I love that. I love that too. I told you I've been going back to hot yoga, right? And I love hot yoga, but I love the teachers. It's the teachers that make it. And I have a teacher who actually, she's going to come on here. Her name is Brittany. She's in the dating scene. And she just, it's like a very religious experience for me. It's just, she's like, you're flowing your body, but then she's saying these things that come through. Like your body is the container for your soul. And I'm like, oh my God. Whoa.
It's true.
Okay. And then like trying to do some kind of pose, but yeah.
Have you heard people fart in the class?
Have I heard it? Or have I been the person?
Have you done it? Have you smelled it?
Definitely done it, for sure. I feel like everyone does it. Because, I mean, it's just like doing sit-ups in gym class. Like, you're doing something that's...
You're getting in those poses.
Oh, when they're like, look at the top of your mat, now jump or hop, that's when you hear the farts. It's just like, ah! And you're like, okay, we're all in this together. It's part of the flow.
How do you just stay... How do you keep a straight face? I don't think I could do it. I would just be giggling.
Oh, well, you don't keep a straight face. You just laugh, yeah. But then they're like, oh my God, she must have released something, a memory that's funny. You know what I mean? Like, you just, they make fun. They make
sense.
She
released, that was trauma that just came out of her ass. That's good.
Yeah.
What are you watching? What are you reading? What are you into?
I am reading Emily Henry, who is just a straight up romance novelist. It's predictable, but also her characters are... They have baggage. They have stuff that they're bringing to their kind of like meet cutes, which I personally enjoy because romance is an escape for a lot of people reading romance. But it's also when you escape into something that you have similar like things with where like you're scared because your heart was broken before or you don't want to settle down because you're self-conscious about your job or something, you know, like I like it. It's it like makes it extra sexy for me for these two, but it's, that's what I'm reading. And they made a Netflix movie out of her book, The People We Meet on Vacation. And they're making one.
Oh, yeah.
They're making one called Funny Story, which is my favorite book of hers. So that's coming out on Netflix as well. So it's really good. Yeah, it's good. It's great. I haven't watched the movies because I'm so into the characters in my own mind.
It's never as good as the books. That's just the way it goes.
But I do love that they're making them because they are totally script perfect already. So, yeah.
And that's what no more fairy porn then.
I'm putting that on hold for now. I read there's a bridge book that's like 200 pages and I'm like, what are you talking about? And then it's now going into this next big epic story and it's focuses on a different character, Nesta, who I'm not such a big fan of. So I'm going to read a 700 page book about her. But then of course my husband was like, there's a lot of sex in there. And I'm like, how do you know? He's like, I flipped to it. Like for some reason my husband will be like, what is this book? Let me see. And then he'll turn to the perfect page where it's like, Cashin's penis is the biggest as any that Nest has ever seen. She strokes it. And I'm like, okay, what page is that on? But then I don't want him to spoil it to them. I mean, it's gross. We're like
dead.
I'm the end of the day.
Dead.
But he always does that. That's what got me into it. He'll be like, oh, this sex scene on, oh my God. And I'll be like, give me that book. Like, let me start it. And then it's like, not a sex scene forever. It takes like 700 pages to get to one sex scene. Sorry, romanticy fans. sorry, Sarah J. Maas fans. I'm with you, though. I'm a fan, too, now.
All right.
Let's get into it.
Wait, but your mom's coming in town. That's exciting.
Yeah, she's coming. I'm going to go pick her up after this. Yep. And she's coming for a week, so it'll be great.
Oh, yay.
I just wanna cuddle her close.
When's the last time you saw her?
Thanksgiving. Yeah.
Okay, so it's been a little bit.
It's been a bit. Nice. We try to see each other every 3 months, but she's 83.
That's really good.
Yeah. So we're... just cherishing every minute, you know?
I feel you, and I hope you have the best time. And yeah, let's get into it. Do you want to kick us off this week?
You kick us off. You do it.
Okay, I'll do it. Okay. All right. Okay, my first story comes from Cora, and Scarlett P. Bassett writes, our usual family holiday to Orlando involves a 9-hour flight with no less than 8 members of our family. This particular year, we were all spread out on the flight, having not been given the usual option of choosing our seats. Now, we weren't spread out from one end of the plane to the other. We were kind of sat in twos, maybe 6 to 7 rows apart. Usual practice on a long flight was for us all to take turns going for a walk up and down the aisles, stopping to chat to each other and stretching our legs a bit. I love that.
I love that too.
It's so cute.
It's so awesome.
They're like Home Alone is what I'm picturing, yeah. Like the big family and yeah. They're all together, you know? Yeah. I was seated about 2/3 of the way down the plane and was a bit of a nervous flyer, but I took comfort in being able to see my granddad's little bald head about 5 rows in front. That man was my best friend. Even at 19, he would tug my hair and I would lightly tap his head.
Aww.
Just after meal service, there was the usual queue for the loo. That's the bathroom for Americans. I couldn't hold it in, so I had no choice but to join the line. But wait, it was a twin aisle aircraft, and it looked like the queue was shorter on the other side. I clambered over the seats and took my place. The queue was slowly inching up the aisle, and I was getting closer to my granddad. I thought it'd be pretty funny to tap his head from behind and duck away.
Oh, no.
I had my hand in the air and I was about to execute the perfect little tap when turbulence struck and that little tap turned into a mighty slap on the back of his head.
Oh no.
She got flung forward into
so much.
I didn't even get the chance to duck because I had to grab hold of his seat to steady myself. And as he turned around, oh, fuck, it was not my granddad.
My God.
I power slapped a perfect stranger. I apologized profusely. And normally I would have just walked quickly away, but I had to endure the most excruciating period of awkwardness as I was still in the toilet queue and I had nowhere
to
go.
She had to go.
I was in line for what felt like hours when I finally made it back to my seat. Everyone was nudging their seatmate and giggling. Needless to say, I didn't move from my seat for the rest of that 7-hour flight.
Did she explain to the man, I'm so sorry? Did it say that? She's like, oh, no.
Yeah. I thought, okay. She said she apologized profusely.
Why is there no talk in Greek times of the god of embarrassment? Because I feel like if there is like Greek times god of embarrassment, like he like rattled the plane at the perfect moment to just like slap a stranger on the
bald head. Right, because it would have just been a cute little tap and he would have been like, yeah.
Yeah.
But instead she was like, whoops.
Like, there's going to be like bruising there. That's really funny. I just love it. I have to say, one of my favorite things about embarrassment or embarrassing stories are when people accidentally trip into someone. And do something crazy.
Yeah, yeah.
So, like the lady on the bus, that one episode where she just like motorboated a stranger because she fell on him when the bus stopped. That's so funny.
Yeah.
Okay, this is from Reddit, and Send Me Nudes, though. That's the name. Writes, at the age of 12, a friend decided that we should do a freestyle rap and record it with his parents' camcorder. He was doing a 12-year-old's interpretation of gangster rap and then added some bars about us being homies at the end and then tossed it over to me. And I drew a complete blank as I can't think of things to say on the spot, but trying to riff on him saying we were homies, I apparently in my improvisation, I kept referring to him as the man of my life and that I love him deeply. It came across a lot more romantic than I intended. I'm just really bad at thinking of things to say on the spot. He shut the camera off and was like, what the fuck, man? I later saw his parents watch the footage and they stifled a laugh.
That's hilarious.
You're the man of my life and I love you so much. It's like so awesome.
They're like, he's like,
this is the man of my life. I mean, it's a perfect way to tell someone how you feel. But
it
if
is.
You're unintentionally doing that, then that's funny.
That is really funny. Okay. My next story comes from Cora, and Bethany Rowe writes, in 1999, maybe June or July, I had to move back in with my parents for the summer prior to moving in with some friends closer to work. I started chatting with a guy online and we got along so well. Over the next few months, I learned all about his family. He worked in IT and made close to $80,000 from what he told me. So a decent living for himself.
Oh, that's great.
This was in the 90s too. So that was like $150,000 today. He worked out, he took care of himself, he lived in an apartment, and he was saving for a house. We exchanged pics, and he was nice on the eyes and nice over the phone. I liked him. He liked me. So we decided to meet up when he told me he was coming to my city to see an old college friend. He was driving 10 plus hours, and I didn't particularly want him knowing exactly where I lived, so I got a room at a hotel, and he got a room at a separate hotel. We met at a local mall near our hotels. It was good to finally meet him. He was nice looking. We gave each other a hug and talked a little about his drive and where he was staying and so on. So far, so good. I was excited to finally meet him, and my hopes were that we'd spend the weekend in my city since he'd never been there. After some talking, we decided to have some dinner. Within 5 minutes of sitting down, things went sour, and I was not impressed.
No!
As I was looking over the menu, I asked him if he wanted to split an appetizer. He said, sure, what's good? I love mozzarella sticks. Who doesn't?
Yeah, seriously, they're delicious.
They're so good. Right now. And I recommended them. He said, I'm not a fan of those. Oh. I really wanted mozzarella sticks. So I said, oh, okay, well, there's a combination here of items, including mozzarella sticks. I'm like, they are at TGI Fridays.
They are definitely at, yeah.
He tells me, we aren't getting those because they're too fattening. And besides, we're not getting any appetizers because they're all too fattening.
Oh, I'm not a fan of
this. Oh, hell.
I would be like, we're going to get that platter and you're going to watch me eat every single
one. I'm going to eat the whole ass platter in front of you. I told him it's okay if he didn't want anything, but I'm getting mozzarella sticks.
Lady,
I rarely
get
eat
after
them.
This. I love this.
He told me, no, they're too fattening and he's not paying for them.
I just disgusted.
I know. Who does
Thank
that?
Thank God they got hotels.
Thank God. I just looked at him and said, well, I like them. And if you don't want to pay for them, I will pay for my own. I got my mozzarella sticks and then ended up getting a salad with some bread. I could barely eat as he could barely stand it that I was eating the mozzarella sticks and that I put ranch dressing on my salad, that I was having butter with my bread and a Coke.
Oh my God, this guy. Oh no.
I know. I'm like not compatible. I'm like, sounds delicious. He had some sort of salmon or chicken with rice and veggies. I couldn't wait for dinner to be over. I didn't like he told me what I could and couldn't order. I was ready to pay for my meal, but he took the bill and paid for the salad and bread, and I had to pay for my own mozzarella sticks.
Okay, whoa. He was like, split the mozzarella sticks off?
Yes.
And she's going to give her that check?
Yes. Isn't that psycho?
I think this person needs a little bit of advice.
After dinner, I was ready to head to my car, and he said, do you want an ice cream?
What?
I asked like a smartass, won't that be too fattening? He said, it's okay, because I want to get one. We go to a Ben and Jerry's right next to the restaurant.
Oh, God, she said yes.
I know. I'm like, fuck this guy.
Enjoy that.
But I think maybe she wants to watch him eat something because he ate his, yeah. I don't know. Maybe she just really wanted an ice cream. I don't know.
Maybe get that ice cream. Yeah.
But it's hilarious. Okay. So they go to the Ben and Jerry's. I tell him I'll have a scoop of fish food. And when he asked what I wanted, I said, thank you. And went and sat down. He came over to our table with one cup. I said, where's my cone? He said, I didn't get you a cone. I got one cup for the both of us with two scoops. Yeah. Two scoops, one fish food and one chocolate chip cookie dough. I don't even like chocolate chip cookie dough. I said, you could have at least gotten me my own cup. I kid you not. These were his words. I didn't buy you your own cup because I'm saving for a house. I could not believe it. So he eats his scoop of ice cream. And when it gets to my scoop of ice cream, it's pretty much melted. Gee, thanks. I could barely eat it. I was pissed. I said, you told me you made $80,000 a year and you can't even buy me an ice cream. He said, oh, so you think I'm cheap, do you? I said, yes. And weird.
Yes, good. Yes, good.
So
good.
Needless to say, he drove 10 hours to blab to me about how fattening food is unhealthy, how he works out every day and only eats chicken and baked potatoes and vegetables, told me what I can and can't order, offered to buy me an ice cream, and I don't get one. Oh, because he's saving for a stupid house. Get real. I was done and I told him to go to his friend's house because things weren't working. I had enough for one evening. I was so disappointed because he seemed so great online and over the phone. Oh, and I don't want to leave out the part where he called me a couple months later and said we should get married.
Whoa.
I hung up on him and never heard from him again. I don't know why in the world he said that. 20 years later, my husband and I joke about it to others. They ask him what he did when we first met and he said, I bought her own mozzarella sticks and her own ice cream.
Oh, it's cute, that's right? So sweet. I like the way it comes around. Woo, I know. A swing and a miss.
Yuck.
Yuck. Oh my God. That's so. That makes me palm sweat. But it's pretty funny, though, that she was so, I don't know, cool about it. She was like, how I'm getting mozzarella sticks.
I won't buy them for you. So if you want those fatty mozzarella sticks, you have to buy them yourself. Yeah, get out of here.
She just like dodged a big bullet. Yeah.
I think I would have left right then, to be honest. Like,
that's the kind of guy that gets you like, you're like, oh God. He's like, cover your eyes. It's your birthday. Here's your present. And it's like a treadmill. And you're like, oh.
A home gym. Yeah. You're like, oh.
Thanks.
Thanks.
Okay, this is from Reddit, and Raf writes, a few summers ago, I met a gal that I had chatted with online a few times. Ooh, same kind of beginning. And we decided to go up into the hills for a swim at a nice creek. We get there, it's a beautiful day, and the water is nice, so I decide to go change into my swim trunks. So I go up into the bushes to change, I slip my pants off over my shoes, and then pull my shirt off. I'm standing there naked, except for shoes. Then I toss my shirt on the ground and get ready to put on my trunks. Turns out, I threw my shirt on a wasp's nest. And they were none too pleased about it. I started getting lit up by the wasps, and I took off toward the water, helicoptering down the hill toward the girl I just met, yelling, ah, wasps! She thought it was pretty funny. I thought standing naked over a nest of angry wasps was the stuff of nightmares. I did get laid later on, though, so I guess that made up for it.
Wow, wasp bites and all. Okay. Maybe, I guess he didn't bring the wasps down to her because that would have been a no-lay situation.
He would not have gotten laid later if she had gotten stung by one wasp. But I like that she's like, he's funny. He can get it.
That is crazy. He gets it. Okay. This next story comes from Cora, and Alexander Porter writes, she had a brain tumor. I had leukemia. We were like a terminally ill Romeo and Juliet. Aww. We met at a nightclub, which seems like something that only happens in the movies. But you never know when you'll meet someone special. Sometimes it's arranged on Tinder. Sometimes it's organized through a friend. But right here, right now, it was two strangers reaching for the same vodka sunrise on the bar.
Oh my God.
I'm sorry, she said. Are you taking this drink for your friend? I didn't have the heart to tell her the drink was for me, and I just love how fruity and fun they are. Hilarious.
So funny.
From there, things were natural. Her name was Sasha. We chatted, swapped stories, and decided that vodka sunrise must have meant something. Wow. A drink served to us by Cupid himself. So we agreed to turn our impromptu meeting into a date. She was tall and thin and charming and wonderful, with the type of body a dancer might have. She had long brown hair that fell well past her shoulders, and she wore tight black jeans and a loose-fitting black top. Her smile was wide and lit up the room. But more than anything, it was her personal story that had me captivated. I'd been in remission from leukemia for several years, and things were going well. I'd struggled to find anyone who could understand the constant mental battle that is remission. The fear of relapse strikes the heart like a dagger. Oh, daggers again.
Daggers.
But she understood, because she had a brain tumor. She'd gone through radiation, and the doctors were waiting for it to shrink enough to operate. She knew the pain and the fear of it all, just like I did. We were meant to be. Our date was incredible. After hours in this nightclub, talking, kissing, sharing our most vulnerable experiences, we decided to head back to my place. With several delightfully fruity vodka sunrises under my belt, I hailed a cab. For whatever reason, the taxi that arrived was like a maxi taxi. It had room for 8 or 9 people. It's like we were traveling in our own private bus. Truly, this was living. She held my hand in the taxi. It was gentle. It was caring. It was the maxi taxi of love.
this guy's writing is
hilarious. I love it. That's when things took a turn for the worse. Literally. I know. And they lived happily ever after. Nope.
If
that's not what happened.
Maxi taxi drives off a cliff, I will be infuriated.
Things always have to take a turn for this. No, this one, like, I'm like, this is such a Mary-Kate coded story. Like, you're going to love this story. Okay. Now, there is a game that some of you may have played as children. I have never played this or heard of it, but, and I'm like, I think they're like Canadian or something. So I'm like,
what is
I don't
it called?
Know. It's called Corners. This game's played in a moving car by two or more people. Every time the car turns a corner, everyone leans towards the turn and tries to crush the person sitting at the end of the row.
I have played that.
You have?
Yeah.
Okay. I never played that. Okay. I played it at length as a child with my four brothers. Truthfully, I hadn't played it in decades, but for some reason, fueled by fruity drinks, I thought this moment would be the ideal moment to start playing Corners again.
I hate this.
I leaned into her gently on the first turn. She giggled, her hand holding my thigh for balance, and returned my gentle shove as we swung around the next corner. Clearly, she loved playing corners, so I leaned into her again. Only this time, for reasons I will never fucking understand, I went in hard.
What dick?
Sasha toppled sideways. Her seatbelt wasn't tight enough to hold her in place, and she fell into the large gap between our seats and the sliding door of the maxi taxi. Her head, which I was well aware was home to a nasty brain tumor, hammered into the door with a loud, dull thud.
I hate this. I hate this.
He crashed his body so hard into her. She went flying
and
across
her head
and thumped her head into the freaking window of the maxi taxi sliding door.
What happens?
I have never in my 30 years on God's green earth felt more mortified. I helped Sasha back into her seat, but the damage was done. Her arms were crossed. There was a scowl on her face. We sat in silence for the next 10 minutes.
This is crazy.
We stared out opposite windows, cursing the gods for making roads with corners instead of straight lines.
Oh my God.
We got to my apartment and the driver, bless his naive cotton socks, waved us off with a smile and a, you too have a wonderful night.
His naive
no, mate,
cotton socks.
I won't. I know. I was like, never heard that either. He said mate, though. Mate. I don't know where they're from.
Australia.
Maybe Australia. That's,
what,
yeah.
My...
I asked Sasha if she wanted to come inside, and I don't think either of us was surprised when she said no. The next 15 minutes was the most awkward of my entire life. Standing in the crisp early morning air of the night, waiting for another taxi to arrive to take Sasha back home. We didn't speak. We didn't look at each other. We just stood in the silence that comes after you push your date off her seat and into the door of a taxi head first after she opened up about her brain tumor. With the lights of the taxi appearing at the end of the road, I breathed a sigh of relief. At least no one would ever know of my great shame, apart from Sasha and the lump on her head.
Oh my God.
Ah, came the smiling voice through the window. Not such a wonderful night. With a grin to rival the Cheshire fucking cat, the same taxi driver was back to take Sasha home. Touche, universe. Someone else knew my awkwardness after all.
Oh my. Can I give it a slow clap?
Because I know, right?
Was
great writing.
Absolutely stunning writing. I felt
a beautiful story start to finish and so sad. And it, like, just honestly, like, because he was drunk, I'm sure. Like the cute little playful shoves. He's like thinking of playing with his siblings where you, it's
yes.
All no holds barred. You know, it's everybody gets, goes crazy.
He takes it too far.
Took it too far and ruined it. And that's it. That soulmate is gone. Poof.
Gone. They could have had like a night of amazing like lovemaking, passionate lovemaking.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
He decides to play corners to roughhousing.
I thought you'd love that though. I was
I think that might be my favorite story. Because it is so embarrassing, but it's so funny. It's like the way that he built that up and like how they understood each other in such a very intimate way. And then it just takes one really rough shove and a head bang to tell someone, maybe this guy's a little violent. I don't like this. I'm done.
Yeah. One moment, 1 second. I know, because like that's scary. Yeah.
It's like that's that super Eminem scary. Song, like you get one shot, do not miss your chance.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like he
I jogged
it.
To that one. That one's so motivating.
Oh, it's so motivating. It's so motivating. Oh my God, Katie.
Like,
I loved that story. I think that's a great story. Okay. Well, whoever
I
you
that
are
one for you.
I really hope you find love because you clearly have a poetic a poet soul, sir.
Yeah.
All right. This is from Anonymous, and they write, I was working for a doctor on a day when he didn't have office hours. The job was beyond my knowledge, so things were tense. At the time, I was dating a guy, and answering machines were just starting to be used. That's a long time ago. For those of you who don't know, answering machines are people who call. The only way they could reach you is by leaving a message on your answering machine, and you had to be home to check it. It was a machine.
Well, it's like voicemails on your cell phone, but it was a landline.
I goofed off, and I decided I wanted to hear my voice saying the guy's name in the words, "I love you." So I recorded it on the office answering machine. I thought I erased it after playback, but I hadn't. A patient called that evening with an emergency and got that message instead of the doctor's name. So when it's like, please leave a message for what that patient got was like, Anderson Cooper, I love you. Thankfully, the doctor was kind and knew I needed the job. But later, I was let go because I was wrong for the job. I felt so humiliated for being so childish. I related to that so much. Did you ever do that? Like write in your book, like who you loved and like when you were a kid?
Of course.
MK loves so-and-so equals like marriage. Like just writing it out is so
playing
funny.
Playing MASH, of course.
Playing MASH, absolutely. I love it. I love it, yes. Oh, yeah. And you're like, I'm living in a shack with seven kids and I have like an old jalopy, but I make like $6 million.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. My last story comes from Quora, and Fred Torres writes, when I was in my mid-teens, my best friend Johnny was my ride or die, and he wanted to spend some quality time with his then-girlfriend. Problem number one, what to do with best friend ride or die? Problem two, what to do with girlfriend's best friend, her ride or die? Solution, have best friends ride or die together.
Yes.
So while Johnny and his girlfriend went into the backseat of the car, Arlene, we'll call her that, and I hopped into her Volkswagen Rabbit and proceeded to drive around East Side San Jose for approximately 1 hour in almost complete silence. By the way, was an awkward situation in and of itself. Arlene was a few years older than me, and I had experience with guys a bit more mature than me. Trust me, I was neither debonair nor witty with women at that point in my life. In any case, the hour finally passed, and Arlene and I headed back to Johnny and girlfriend. When we arrived at Johnny's car, both Johnny and girlfriend jumped into the back seat and continued with a goodbye makeout session that ended up lasting another 15 minutes.
That is so awkward.
Awkward.
You're just sitting there, and then your friends are making out, and you're like...
Yes.
Like, so bad.
Beyond. Just be like, you guys just go make out with each other. Like,
yeah,
we don't need to be here. Like, we're clearly not a match.
Yeah.
Although I made no suggestive moves towards Arlene, I'm sure she must have felt some pressure as if we were obligated to join in on the fun. She was squirming in the driver's seat, gave out a weak cough, and proclaimed, I'm coming down with a cold. She's like, don't even try.
Good one, Arlene.
As I leaned against the passenger door, arms crossed, staring out the front window of the car without even turning towards her, I said in a rather monotone tone, honey, tea, and lemon. At that point, all hell broke loose in the car. Johnny and his girlfriend ceased their lip locking and leaned forward to the front seat. Arlene turned towards me and backed away towards the driver's car door with an incredulous look on her face. And everyone exclaimed at the exact same moment, what? Shocked, I looked at all of them in a completely innocent little man's voice, which I was not. I unfolded my arms, shrugged, and said, what? They continued to stare, mouths and eyes open wide. And I said again, honey, tea, and lemon. That's what you drink when you have a cold.
Yes.
All three of them burst out laughing. And girlfriend, in between her hysterical fits of laughter, explained, I thought you said, honey, do you love me? Evidently, they all thought I said that.
Oh, my God. That's so crazy.
So they think that, like, he's just sitting there. He's like, honey, do you love me? They, like, even they, like, stop making out. And
they stop,
like,
making out. They're like, are you kidding me?
What? And she's like, ew, I just, like, cough so you wouldn't try to kiss me. No. She's like, absolutely not. Please stop. Go away.
She's like, yeah, you wish, bitch.
Isn't that funny?
That's so funny. I love that.
And you relate to that too with the misunderstanding when hearing things.
Oh,
sometimes.
my bad ears. I've heard way worse. But yeah. I just I love that, like, the reaction was like, ew, of course I don't love you. We just didn't say anything for an hour. And I'm used to older guys who have more experience than you, and you're like a little baby. But he's just, like, trying to give her some nice advice, a nice tip, you know?
Honey, do you love me?
He's like, honey, tea and lemon, just let me just offer this words of wisdom if I offer you nothing else. You know? Do you remember you used to, did you ever say olive juice instead of I love you?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. That's so funny. These stories are written so beautifully. You know,
I even like a lot of good writers out there.
Slice of lives. Slice of lives. All right. My last story is anonymous. And they write, in middle school, I was at this New Year's Eve party. And even though I was anxious, it was going great until I walked across the dance floor. The boy I had the biggest crush on and who was hands down the coolest person in our school was dancing with someone. Just as I passed behind him, his hand flung back and his finger went right up my nose.
Oh.
So imagine.
She got fish hooked.
You're
right?
Just like, oh. Like, we locked eyes and he looked horrified as he realized what had happened. So he's dancing with someone and then, like, shoves his finger up your nose and then he, like, locks eyes with this person. And they're like,
so not sexy.
He tried to laugh it off, but I could tell he was disgusted and I just wanted to evaporate on the spot. I'm a full grown adult and still get secondhand embarrassment from my middle school self. You know what? It's not his
fault.
Was
there a booger on the end of it when he got his hand?
But this is like, we're going down the wrong rabbit hole because, like, that's not his fault. He's just trying to cross the dance floor. And this guy shoves his finger up his nose.
Oh, it was a guy. I thought it was a girl.
Oh,
it's a guy.
The boy I had the biggest crush on. So the girl. Yeah. But sorry.
Or
yeah,
it could be a guy, too.
I'm mixing it all up. Whatever. But this girl gets her nose like violated.
Yeah, by the hottest guy that she has a crush on. He just jammed his finger up his nose. Was there some thought in there? Was there a booger on the end? That's
start
what I want to know.
Bloody nose.
Did she get a bloody nose?
Either way, it's
not a sexy scenario. It's like the girl swinging her arms, too.
Did her brains come out her nostrils?
Did he get just a little bit? A little bit.
Yuck. Was there a bouquet of flowers that came out of her nose? And he was charmed. That's our show.
We hope you loved it. If you did, please tell a friend, rate, review, and subscribe. That helps us move up the charts. And if you've got a story that made you turn beet red, you can email us at beetredpodcast@gmail.com.
And if you want to buy some Kleenex because it's cold season, go to our Patreon page, which is listed in our show notes.
Our show notes. You got to say your line.
If you can't beat them.
Join them! See you next week!
See you next week!